door of death. With luck you'll have a good friend near you to take your part, to guard your heart, to love you without reservation. So those who come when you are gone will think of you and carry on to the seventh generation. But for this earth, place of our birth, who will be there to hear it crying? Who'll make the choice? Who'll raise their voice to shout out loud? Our earth is dying to take a stand, to guard the land, to stand up for its preservation. You'll need all your strength, need all your heart, to take your place, to do your part, to the seventh generation. When tempers flare and voices rise, when conversation turns to lies, between the anger and the fear, it isn't easy to see clearly. But no ear will ever hear your whispered voice, so shout out loudly to take a stand. Just raise your hand and make a fist you hold up proudly. It's up to me, it's up to you, to stand our watch for all creation. So a 100 years after we depart, at least they'll say we made a start to the seventh generation.
Good morning. That was Cy Khan, and I thought it was a good way to start off the Earth Day show here at the Peace and Social Justice Program. Welcome to the last day of our spring pledge drive and our Earth Day special Peace and Justice program. KZFR is emerging from COVID doldrums, and we're really happy that so many listeners have donated so far. We only have about $5,000 more to reach our pledge drive goal of $40,000 and to get that emergency equipment that we so badly need here in fire-prone Butte County. We want to thank everybody who's pledged so far. My goal today on the Peace and Justice program is $901 for our 90.1 call numbers, and I think we can make it. We have had five engaging guests, although the first one I couldn't reach, so we're off to the Murphy's Law marker. That's all that's going to go wrong with this show today. I'm really proud of everything that has happened with this program over the years since 1991, since I've been involved with it. It's really thrived with KZFR since that first Gulf War that got me started into this. This radio station is under our local control. It's almost completely sustained by our own community, and it's something that we can all be proud of and that we need to sustain. So please call now at 530-895-0131 and show your love. Rick Carr is out there, Run the Gamut host. He's been here for a long time, and he would love to take your pledge. I have in the studio with me Jeannie Trezino. You may recognize Jeannie's name and voice from the show Non-Human Radio, which is on pause due to COVID. But Jeannie's back here. She's been at the pledge line since 7 a.m. She is extremely devoted. She's on the board of directors. Jeannie, welcome to the Peace and Justice Show.
Good to be here, Chris.
Wait a minute. Just a second. Murphy's on me again. I didn't turn up your mic. Go ahead.
Live radio.
Yes, go ahead.
Radio. Go right. Chico. Good to be here, Chris.
You know, Jeannie, you just told me a really compelling story about someone that called in, and I was wondering if you could tell the listeners what you just heard.
Oh, sure. I've been answering the phones since 7 a.m. Thank you to everyone who's called in to support the station. I was talking with a listener who's a monthly donor. Yay for monthly donors. Appreciate that. And she mentioned that KZFR is her lifeblood for feeling connected to the community of Chico. And she was a campfire survivor. She picked up one of our donated radios during the campfire aftermath, where the station had available to us regular standalone radios for folks to pick up to pick up what was on the air, and KZFR did that. She still listens to that same radio.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
So.
Yeah, and Rick Carr has another story, but I think he might be on the phones right now. So maybe if he'll I want you to switch out with him in a minute. But first, yeah. I'd like to know, since today is Earth Day, and you have been such a champion for our sentient co-mammals and other creatures, I was wondering if you could just tell us a little bit about what you've been focusing on lately in terms of animal rights.
Mostly I've been focusing on having an impact locally, and so encouraging and promoting information about plant-based dining options here in Chico. Because it's one thing to eat plant-based at home. It's a whole different puzzle and problem to dine out socially. And I have a growing sense that even folks who haven't gone vegan or decided to go all plant-based or choosing to eat less meat.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been, as I have been doing, I run the ChicoVegan.com website, which has a guide to vegan-friendly restaurants in Chico. So I've been updating that and getting ready to do the Chico Vegan Chef Challenge for later this year, where we're going to challenge local restaurants to have a special vegan option for the month. And helping restaurants expand their vegan expertise for serving plant-based meals.
Well, that's great. Yeah, some restaurants I go there and I can only get a salad. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it's really hard to find food, especially if you're on the road somewhere. Jeannie, I wanted to ask you, some of our listeners may not understand the link between a plant-based diet and the environment. Can you talk a little bit? Do you have that statistic right in your head about the impact that especially eating beef and things like that have on the environment?
Sure. I don't have, I'm not a numbers person. I can just tell you that if you look at the amount of acreage that is devoted just to growing feed for animals, that is all acreage that's could be dedicated to wild animals and more natural ecosystems. So if nothing else, the impact of your diet involves not just the animal on your plate, but all the acreage involved to feed that animal, which in the United States, all the soy and corn acreage goes into animals' mouths and not humans' mouths. So I like to think that farmers should be feeding people and not feeding animals.
Yeah.
So that's one impact. In South America, large swaths of rainforests and otherwise natural ecosystems are actually being cleared and have been being cleared to grow food for animals. Soy is being grown now more and more in South America, not for local consumption, but to feed animals. And I just think that if we're more aware of the impacts of our diet in that way, it will help us make better choices.
That's right. So I'd like you to go ahead and use this day, that energy, that passion you have to make a pledge pitch, because today is our pledge day drive. It's the last day. We need that extra 5,000 in order to reach our goal. And Jeannie Trezino, what would you tell our listeners in order to make them pick up that phone or make that pledge either online by text or Venmo?
I would just say last day, best day. This is your last chance to support a local community-based radio station that is, I don't know. I just think it's such a worthy enterprise to support. And if you are a listener, you're listening, you found the station for a reason. It fills some kind of need in you. And hopefully we're responding to that need. And we would greatly value your support. And if you call 895-0131 or go online to kzfr.org and click the donate tab, we will make it easy and quick for you to support this station. We can stay on air.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you so much. And maybe if you could have Rick Carr come in here, I want to ask him to tell his story about what, we've been doing this all week, so we've been hearing stories, and he had another one of a campfire survivor and their KZFR link. So if you could ask him to come in, I'd sure appreciate it. And thanks for being with us this morning on the Peace and Justice Show, Jeannie.
I really encourage our listeners to call in and help Chris and the Peace and Social Justice Show make its goal of $901 for this, for her show period.
Thank you so much. You know, I was going to have another radio host on with me, a peace activist, and he's driving from Creech Air Force Base back to Maine where he lives, and he does a show called Friendly Fire, A Voice for Veterans, and I'm going to catch him again another time because I think it's really important that we're connected to public radio stations across the country. This is a community radio is a huge thing, and it's important to know where and how to access community radio, what the mission and goals are of community radio stations throughout the country. And, you know, this fact that this local control, this local focus is, you won't find it anywhere else. It's everything is now corporatized. And so I have Rick Carr in front of me. It's so good to see you, Rick. I never get to see you. I listen to you every Thursday on Run the Gamut, but I never see you.
We seldom get to see each other in person these days.
I know. Yeah. So you had an experience with someone on the pledge line, and I was wondering if you could tell her or his story.
Yeah, actually, it was somebody who had pledged last week during Run the Gamut. You know, Jeannie and I were talking a few minutes ago about how there are platforms where you can stream music, but you kind of have a disconnect with the public, basically, when you do that. But when you listen to KZFR, and some people do strictly, you still have that human connection. You have a physical and a connection to the community that you're in. And a really big compliment we got last week was when a caller called in to make a pledge, as they generally do anyway. But the comment after all the business end was done was that they had been burned out in Paradise, and they were weighing the options. Should I take the money, go elsewhere and build, or should we rebuild here in Paradise? And they said that the deciding factor was KZFR, particularly.
That's amazing.
You know, because they had that connection.
Mm.
And it's one that some of us go way back, mm-hmm. and those connections are long term.
Yeah. It is sort of family-like. I mean, we help each other out, and when one of us is sick, you know, everybody mm-hmm. hurts,
yeah,
you know,
right?
So it's strong. Well, thanks so much, Rick.
You know, every one of our listeners has a story about KZFR, and you know, it's just, some of them are so heartwarming.
Yeah, and it was Eric Mathiesen's birthday this week, and he was our founder, and
yeah.
Everybody was, you know, lit up about love for Eric Mathiesen because what he gave us.
Right.
What a gift, you know.
And he went through all the paces and got people together, got money together, and really, you know, spearheaded the whole operation, and then at some point walked away.
Yeah.
Here you go. Here's your radio station. Here's your gift.
Yeah, amazing.
And here we are.
Yeah. So, Rick Carr, thank you for working the phones, and I hope people will call up
I take a phone call.
Yeah, hear that lovely voice of yours.
Well, thank you, Chris.
On the phone. Thank you. All right. So the five ways to pledge are online, kzfr.org. You can text to pledge KZFR, and that is 44321. Venmo is at KZFR901, or just call us. We have both Jeannie and Rick here, 530-895-0131. Or if you're really old school and really want to just do it the regular old way, mail goes to 341 Broadway, Suite 411 in the 95928 zip code. So I'm going to get my next guest on the line here. I'm going to give you some music, and Jeannie is over there doing something, but I'm going to go ahead to the next guest. And I appreciate you trying to help me, Jeannie. I'm going to go ahead and put on some music for you. This is Holly Near, and it's a song about the beauty of this earth. May we never, never forget to honor and relish our lives here on earth, this beautiful, beautiful planet.
It was once only dining and dancing, evening kisses, morning smiles, and then you said, let's go off together, alone for a while, and I loved you.
I don't even have the right song, so I guess it is a Murphy's Law day, but stay tuned. I'm going to get Corey Hampunta on the line.
And your bones and your soft curls and the passions that I've never known. My love was of the strangeness, the thrill, but moments deny tomorrow, and yet I love you still. Well, it seems like so little was spoken about ending the games. We just kept waiting.
All right, this is a Peace and Justice program. We're here every Friday from 11:30 to 1. We have rotating hosts, and right now it's been Robert Jones and I, but my other co-host is Corey Hemphunt, and he took a little sabbatical there during COVID, but he's going to come back to us, I think, from what I've heard, and you'll be hearing him again here on the airways soon again. He's a local artist and activist that's been doing poetry and hip-hop in Chico for 20-plus years, and he's been involved at various levels of community activism also for over the last 10 years. Welcome back, Corey. Hi.
Hey, Chris, how's it going?
It is good. I'm hoping that people are calling. The pledge line, of course, is 895-0131. As you know, this is our pledge drive today. But I wanted to ask you specifically about a project that you've been doing for the month of April, which is National Poetry Month. And you have really been doing some incredible poems and every day, and I was wondering about how you got started with this project of doing a daily poem and publishing it on Facebook daily, you know, and trying to prompt the rest of us to write poems too.
Yeah, it's a thing called 30 by 30. I'm not exactly sure on the origins of it, but I came across it many years ago. And, yeah, every year I try to get in on it. And this year I even decided, yeah, I was going to give out some prompts and help others get into it. And, yeah, it's just basically writing, trying to get your poetry juices flowing. It's really one of those things as an artist that can be kind of difficult sometimes as you get bogged down with daily responsibilities and everything. And so it's just kind of a excuse and inspiration to get us poets going in that direction.
Yeah, and you've really showed your own tenacity and scope with the things that you've been writing. You, like just the last week, you've posted poems on fear, education, intersectionality, resilience, accountability, culture, liberation, even redlining, which is amazing to be able to write a poem about redlining. I was wondering, like, are those topics that other people came up with, or are those the things that sort of resonated with you to do the prompts on?
Yeah, so this year I decided to make the prompts myself. And so, yeah, these are things that I feel like really could use thought, you know, that we all should really be thinking about a little bit more often. And the more that we think about these certain ideas that I'm presenting, I feel like it, I do a workshop at Chico State called Artivism, and it's about, you know, connecting your art with your activism. And that's what I really was focusing on this year with my prompts, is just creating prompts around ideas that I feel are important to activism.
I'm talking to Corey Hampton. Can you tell us more about that class, and if people are interested in the Artivism class, how they would find out more?
So I've done it about three times, and it's through the CAVE program. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them.
Right.
But that's a program through Chico State, and I believe you would have to go through those channels in order to actually be a part of the workshop. But it's really been special for me, as I've been able, they say, you know, if you want to learn something, teach it. And I've really been able to learn a lot more about, you know, connecting art and activism by just sitting with the youth and hearing what they have to say about it. You know, I come in and I give, I don't really try to come in from a professor type stance, but more a symbiotic, and just bringing up prompts, as we were mentioning, and just and speaking on it and getting their ideas of it and sharing mine as well.
Poetry is so incredibly special, and I was wondering if you could pick one that you feel that would resonate best with this audience, a Peace and Justice program audience. Do you have one that's at your fingertips there, Corey?
Sure, yeah. You mentioned redlining a few times, so that one stuck out. I'll read the one that I wrote for that prompt.
Okay.
It goes, you ever stop to think where and what we might be if we never had HOLC? Maps they use as an excuse to force poverty and generational robbery. The situation's odd to me and shouldn't be that hard to see how race-based ghetto philosophy was used to end as the endgame of Homer's Odyssey. Using homes as commodities, but illogically. They based it on myths of biology. Now the nation's gnawing on a twisted psychology, trying to dodge their own false prophecy. How dumb and brave it is to say forms of concealed hate like, I never owned slaves, as some sort of phrase to play getaway from how ghettos were made. Like Jim Crow didn't cause the migration of greats after reconstruction of slaves drove labor away, only for the industrial prison complex to take its place. And they save face in a safe place, judging Dre's day like, if he just behaved, racism would go away, with no clue of the waves we face every day. One slap to the face could wipe years of uplift suasion away.
He's so strong. Thank you so much, Corey. You know, that was about racism and redlining that affects, you know, people being able to get decent housing, decent health care, decent jobs. You know, that is so important. But if I could say something that just popped into my head, is that with the recent gerrymandering here in Chico, I just want to say this, it's off the topic, but I heard that many Democrats were moved to Tammy Ritter's part of the
map.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that Deborah Lucero now is in a district that is there's fewer Democrats than Republicans. They want to take her seat, and the man who's running is a policeman with no public service experience. So it is it works in so many insidious ways, and I really appreciate that poem, because it, you know, even for me to say that, that wouldn't have had an opportunity to say it if you hadn't triggered it. So thank you. You know, Corey Hampton,
I think it's connected, you know, with what you're saying there. You know, that HOLC map thing is like the genesis of what we're dealing with gerrymandering today. Sorry to cut you off.
No, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, I'm really appreciative for you being a co-host here. And during COVID, you have done off-site production, and that's been a way that KZFR has had to move in order keep the station vibrant during the 2 years of COVID. So I really appreciate you as my co-host, and that you'll be back this summer and first filling in, and then hopefully taking back a regular rotation on the show. But I was wondering if you could help me with a quick pledge break. I mean, why should people support community radio right now?
Oh, man, in the ending of another one of my poems that I had wrote this morning, the end was something like, I blame big oil, big pharma, MSNBC, CNN, Fox, and yo mama. And the ending kind of was a little playful, but, you know, that's what makes, you know, KZFR and stations like this so important, because it's public-funded information where it's not biased and paid for by some big corporation giving you the slant on a story. It's us, you know, it's so many local activists like yourself and myself giving us straight from the ground news without, you know, like I say, corporate bias and slant. And that's priceless, you know, especially in a so-called democratic republic, you know, when you need the citizens to be informed. Venues like KZFR cannot be over-established of their importance, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I know how strongly I feel about this station, and I hope our listeners mm-hmm. do too. It's easy to pledge. It's easy to sit back and not pledge. But right now, this is how you listeners can do community service. You can support community radio with your dollars. And we do need to make $5,000 before the end of this day in order to meet the goal. And a big part of what we're doing this time is to get emergency equipment so that if we do have fires this summer or in the future summers or winters, as they now are peeling out to be, that we will have that equipment, we can do a better job in keeping the public informed, which is a really important part of what we have a capability to do, is to be an emergency voice for safety in our communities throughout the listening area. So please call 530-895-0131 or go online to the donate tab, super easy, kzfr.org. If you're into texting, then you can pledge KZFR to 44321 or Venmo at KZFR9901. Corey, I really appreciate you spending this little bit of time with me. I'm going to keep this fast-paced, and I really appreciate you spending this time with us on KZFR this morning, and I look forward to hearing a full hour and a half with you in the near future.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, you know, I truly appreciate you inviting me into your space, this Peace and Social Justice, and giving me the opportunity to uplift some of the most marginalized voices in our community. And I want to double down and ask people to give what they can. If you can give anything, please, you know, help keep this powerful beacon of hope in our community. Yeah. And thank you, Chris, for being, you know, a beacon of hope yourself and continuing to do the work of informing our community and helping our community. And I look forward to joining you guys again here in June and July.
Yeah. Thank you, Corey. May be well. Peace.
You be well as well. Peace and blessings.
All right. Bye. What Corey brought up is important. You know, some people don't have a lot of money, but one way that you can help out, even if you're low income and very low income, is to give on a monthly basis. You can give $5 a month, and you may not even feel $5 a month. And you know, we don't want it to hurt anybody, you know, that your love should hurt. That we don't want that. So just, you know, give what you can. But think about a monthly donation. So sometimes $10 a month, $20 a month is not something you're going to notice, but it helps to sustain the station. So I want to get on to our next guest, who is also on the road. So hopefully we'll do better with Alice DiMicelli here. I want to remember to thank our underwriters, which is really an important part of what keeps us going here. I want to thank the generous contributions of Patrick Riley, a real estate professional with Century 21 Select, specializing in properties in Chico and Butte Meadows. Patrick is dedicated to helping buyers and sellers achieve their real estate goals with kind, quality service. Patrick can be reached at 588-6593 and on Facebook and by Quicksilver Courier Service. Established in 2010, Quicksilver Courier Service has the flexibility to provide a broad range of delivery services for private individuals as well as for legal, medical, and business professionals. Visit ChicoCourier.com for quality 24/7 delivery services. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is the Peace and Justice Program, and I want to thank also the supporters who are doing the Mother's May Day Sip and Shop, a pop-up market with local makers and creators in celebration of Mother's Day on Saturday, May 7th, 12 to 5 at Lassen Traditional Cidery, 643 Entler Avenue. Vendors include art, jewelry, local products, tarot readings, and more, as well as Lassen Traditional Ciders, food by Panini Machine, and Chico Vela will provide complimentary valet bike parking. Details at turkeytailfarm.com. And the Bankruptcy Law Offices of Michael O. Hayes, a proud supporter of community radio. Michael O. Hayes offers complimentary consultations and payment plans for Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. For more information, you can visit chicobk.com or at 530-892-8916. So I'm going to try to get Alice DiMicelli on the line. She is on the road. And I would like to play this song off her new CD. And Every Seed We Plant is the name of the CD. And it is one we talked about, people who went through the campfire. And this is a song that I think really resonates with people that are rising out of the ashes. So here is Rise.
I'm Robert Jones, one of the hosts of the Peace and Social Justice
Show. Oh, that Murphy. What a joker. Hang on one second. I love Robert, but not that. Let me see if I can get out of that. Okay. All right, I'm going to go back into Holly Near, and excuse me while I do that. Hi, Alice. Alice DiMicelli on the line with me from where? Where are you?
I'm in Weed.
Weed, okay.
I'm in Weed on my way to Chico.
All right. Well, I hope you're having a good time in Weed.
Well, we just stopped at the rest area, so we're sitting by a cell tower so that we could talk to you.
Oh, I really appreciate your time, and I'm honored.
No problem. Happy to be here.
Yeah, I'm honored to have you on the show. You know, for folks that don't know her, Alice DiMicelli is an American folk artist. She's released her 16th recording, which I just tried to play you a cut of, in a career that has spanned over 30 years. Her music draws from a wide range of influences, and this new CD is wonderful. It's called Every Seed We Plant. It's got a deep acoustic groove, heartfelt lyrics, and creates a real snapshot of life in these times. And so she's coming to Chico, and she's going to be here tonight. So I want to welcome you back, Alice DiMicelli, to KZFR, and you're going to be at the Monca Museum tonight, and then you're coming down from Oregon for this special performance, and I was wondering if you could tell us about, I know there's a confluence of events that brings you to us tonight. Can you talk about it?
Of course. So my dear friend Steve Schumann, we're having a celebration of life for him tomorrow at Manzanita Place, and that was the impetus to come down. And my bass player lives in Montana, Rob Kohler, and he really wanted to come to Steve's memorial. And I said, "Well, I got you. Let's make it happen." And we got a couple gigs to make so that we could pay for his gas to get here. And we've been practicing for several days, just having so much fun being back together. We're kind of musical soulmates for many, many years. We've been playing together, and you know, Steve was one of my biggest supporters of my music. And when I met him in '89, he was a friend of my ex-partner Naomi. They used to know each other from Circle I days, and you know, Bopping Almonds and different stuff. So she introduced me to Steve in 1989, and then Steve and I became really close friends over the years, and Steve started to manage me for a little while, and then he put on some concerts in doing that, and then that's how North Valley Productions got started, because he was like, "Oh my goodness, I don't like necessarily being your manager, but I really love putting on shows. Do you mind if I do that?" I'm like, "No, you got to follow your bliss." So he started North Valley Productions and did concerts for all these amazing years. And we remained really close friends and, you know, did a lot of different fun trips together. And every time I'd come to Chico, I'd be staying at Steve's and be hanging with Steve. So, you know, I'm a little heartbroken. This is the first time coming back to Chico to play a show without Steve being part of it. But I'm grateful that I'm coming, and it'll be really good to see everybody. And show tonight is going to be off the hook, because Rob and I haven't gotten to do a show together a little less than a year. And, you know, for the last 2 years, it's pretty much we haven't done much. So this is going to be really special.
Yeah, and you know, Steve was a dear friend of mine, too. We lived in the same neighborhood and oftentimes had meetings in his backyard for years over different environmental issues that we were involved in together. And and then the other thing I want to mention to our listeners about what this kind of confluence of things that's happening tonight and this weekend is that Alice DiMicelli is going to be at the Monca Museum, which is the Museum of Northern California Art, which is at 900 Esplanade across from Chico High School. And this concert is going to be held in the area that the David Sisk collection is going to be. There's going to be Cisco Lives. There's the display in many rooms of different works of David Sisk. And he was a socially astute, humorous, amazing artist. And he also died suddenly last year. And so these two great souls, you know, are kind of providing for all of us their love and their beauty, you know, through Alice and her music and through the getting together of this community. So anyway, it's a big thing, and I hope that people will get their tickets for this. I'll talk about that after Alice get back on the road. But Alice, I wanted to ask you a little bit about your work, because this, you know, I knew you from when I was playing all the time. So I've been doing this since '91. I've been playing this song called "Defend the Earth," and it's as urgent now as when you first sang it, which I think was what 1988? I don't know when you came out with that song, but it's been a very long time.
That album, Searching, came out in 1992.
92, so...
And I wrote the song somewhere 90, 91, something like that, and then did the album. I think I was 91, and then the album came out in 92.
So today's Earth Day, and now you've come out with this amazing song, Every Seed We Plant. And I was wondering if you could just talk about your relationship to, and you know, the environmental needs of our days. What I know it's been such an important part of the intense and beautiful work that you've written.
Well, I mean, I kind of like, I'm a little bit of a simpleton in a way when it comes to this stuff. I feel like the planet is living. We are part of that. We're part of, it's not like the planet or the Earth is like a separate entity from us. We're completely dependent on her. So pretty much that's woven into everything, you know, even songs that aren't necessarily an activist song. Like, you know, I have a few activist songs, but most of my songs aren't necessarily activist songs. But nature and being a part of this beautiful organism, which is Earth, is woven all through all of my music. You know, it's woven through the love songs. It's woven through the activist songs. It's woven through this, you know, songs about grief, songs about anything. Like, because it's you can't separate one from the other. You know, we are humans, but we are part of this planet. And the thing that I don't know, like, I just, my whole trip, if you will, is to bring people together and create a space where people can experience a myriad of emotions in an evening and or in just listening to music. And it's a safe space to feel those things, to work through them, and create community. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, to me, like, it's really, because in order to change anything, in order to do any kind of activism, we need community.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's central to all of it for me. And the community is that we're every living thing, every part of this planet, is our community. And so I try to really, you know, work on remembering that we need to have common ground with each other. And whether it's, you know, an anti-war stance or a pro-environmental stance or a, you know, pro-freedom to love who you love stance, you know, it's all connected to nature. It's all connected to this place that we live.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does, 100%. Yeah, totally with you there. And you know, I know that there's a story behind this song that you wrote, Every Seed We Plant, which I'm going to be playing. But can you talk about how you received that song?
So my wonderful friend, elder, and dear woman, Grandma Agnes Baker Pilgrim, we called her Grandma Aggie. People might know her from the 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. She was one of the founders of that. But she had been the oldest living member of her tribe, the Tecoma tribe in Southern Oregon, where I live. That's their territory. So I always remember where I know where I stand. You know, I know whose land I'm standing on. And Grandma was an amazing teacher. And, you know, I love water and I've always been connected to water. So I'd always sing about water. And Grandma loved that because she always talked about water. And when she passed away, we had a memorial for her in January of 2020. It was right before the whole pandemic. And I was planning on playing the song Voice of the Water, which I wrote. And it quotes Grandma in that song a couple times. So, because we have to be the voice for the voiceless. And it talks about that in the song. And so I was planning on playing that. So I practiced it. And then I was putting my stuff away, and I needed to leave the house. Like, I needed to leave the house fast. But I felt Grandma's hands. Like, I just felt her be like, sit down. So I sat down, and the song, like, literally just came flying out.
Wow. Okay,
it just came out. I had time to play it once because I had to be at the memorial, and I wasn't just going. Like, her granddaughter had called me and asked me to please sing at the memorial, which was a huge honor, and also like, oh, whoa, like, I don't feel worthy of singing at grandma's memorial, but of course, if her granddaughter asked me, I'm going to say yes. So I was already feeling a little nervous about the whole thing, and then this happened, and I just sang it the whole way to the memorial, and, you know, I could only play it on the guitar once, and then I had to play it for her friends and family, but it was really magical, and I'm really grateful for the song, and I feel like it just keeps me a little close to her, so it's extra special for me.
Oh, that's amazing. And I'm speaking with Alice G. Michelli. She's going to be here tonight in Chico, playing in a Manka space, and also tomorrow at our dear friend's memorial, Celebration of Life, actually, where Steve Schumann. And tonight, the doors open at 6:30, and you can get tickets at the door if it's not sold out. But you will want to go to eventbrite.com because it's very possibly going to be sold out. So get your tickets ahead of time. Alice, I wanted to, you know, ask you too about community radio, because I know that your music has been played a lot on community radio stations around the United States, and you've, you know, that is the way that community builds, is through these community radio stations and the artists that we bring in, because a lot of times, like you've done your own work all these years. You started off in 1988 with your own label, Alice Otter Music. I mean, you do it all.
Now I actually have a gal that I pay to do my radio promotion, and I did train a couple people, and I trained her years ago, but then she took off, and she's been doing other people too, which is great. But community radio for me has been my lifeline and my way to connect with listeners. Mm. Not only just the airplay, but doing things like this where I get to either come in live or be on the phone live and talk about my music and talk about the work, the activism, and all the different issues that we have to work on together. So I'm very much sitting in gratitude for community radio, and I'm a big community radio supporter. So thank you for the work that you do, and thank you to everybody for pledging support for KZFR. If you want, I'd be happy to give a CD to somebody who pledges during your show today. And all you have to do is email me their address, or if they come to the show tonight, just email me their name and I'll give it to them at the show tonight. I'd really like to do something to support KZFR myself, so we did that on Rick's show the other day. I'd love to do that on your show too, if you want.
Yeah, I'd love it. Yeah, I hope that folks are listening out there who can make this happen. You know, Alice, I want you to be able to get on the road so that you still have, from Weed, you still have almost 2 hours, at least the way I drive it, to get to Chico. And then you've got to do your sound checks and should get a little rest before your concert tonight. So I want to be able to let you go a little early, but I'm going to play this song that you told us about, Every Seed We Plant, and want to encourage people to come out tonight, see the Cisco exhibit, and hear Alice G. Michelli. And thank you so much for everything that you've done over the years. I love your music, and I appreciate you very much.
Thank you. I look forward to seeing you and come out. And my bass player, Rob Kohler, is an absolute monster. He's an incredible musician. And you know, I'd say it's worth the ticket just to come see him and not even include me, but you get me too. So there you go.
sounds wonderful. Thank you so much for your time with us today on KZFR Peace and Justice Show. Be safe.
Thank you so much. Peace.
All right. Bye. All right, folks. I just wanted to let her go because, you know, who knows? It's pretty windy through those mountains there north of Reading. So, again, I want to just promote her concert tonight because she is so, so good. I mean, obviously, she came down because she wants to be at Steve Schumann's memorial tomorrow, and we're so lucky that you know, Steve brought us all these incredible musicians. So many people were so deeply touched by Steve Schumann. And just some of the things, if you don't know Alice's music, just some things people have said about her: a full, resounding, articulated voice, sounding as if it had spent an age reverberating through deep caverns, gathering force before erupting into the open. She has a really powerful voice. And then her songs speak of rivers and trees, of salmon and the ocean, and she sings them with a clear, powerful voice with a range through several octaves, in which she has powerful. North Coast Journal says that. So anyway, again, that's tonight, and you can get tickets at eventbrite.com. Let's go ahead and listen to that song now so that you can get an idea of Alice Dean Michelli and her work and what she was given.
Every seed we plant is life. We must gather seeds to plant. We must gather seeds to share. It's how our people survive the past. It's how our children go on from here. Every
Peace and Justice program, and I'm so grateful to be here. And we are followed by Playing Dead, and a wonderful evening, a Friday night evening. Our goal is to get $5,000 before the end of this pledge drive. And on this show, my goal is $500, and I'm doing okay. We've got $470 so far. So I want to thank Linda, Sue, Emily, Sarah, and Vicky for pledging so far. And we have You know, we have a little time left and go till 1 o'clock. So I would love it if more people would call. And the number here is 530-895-0131. Jeannie's out there and Rick's out there, and they are both very willing to, you know, talk to you and get your pledges, and it's easy, and you can get great gifts too with KCFR logos on them that make you proud and feel like part of something really important in our community. You know, one of the things, I was looking through these different ways to ask for money, which is something I'm not usually very good at, but one of the things I read is to say that radio is the loneliest medium. You listen in solitude, usually. You know, you're by yourself. Mind is just floating along, or filled with something else, or, you know, focused on the radio, or, you know, it's just something that you sometimes just have in the background. But here in this station, usually, I'm alone too. You know, it's lonely on this end, and it's me trying to reach through the atmosphere to you and to ask for your support for this basically free service that you don't have to pay for. But it is something that does take a huge amount of effort to bring to you each week. And we try to bring you content, in-depth content on topics that matter. And this is Earth Day. And like that song says, you know, about hope and heart, you know, it's really a time, Earth Day for me anyway, is a time to recommit to being aware and conscious of my footprint and my relationship with everything. You know, it's just not the looking at the flowers, it's the air that I breathe and the water that I drink and, you know, everything. And so this is also a community thing, because not one of us can solve the climate crisis on our own and or stop a nuclear bomb from falling. You know, it's going to take a huge confluence of humanity to make a difference on this planet, to let elected leaders know that it matters to us, you know, how our money, our tax money, is being spent. And so this show, I try to give you the people that know what they're talking about, the people that are activists, the people that are professionals, you know, whether they're scholars or authors or, you know, engaged in some way in deep thinking about the earth and about planetary wellness. So that has been my bedrock commitment to you over the years. And I hope that it's sustaining us here at KZFR, that I can get that $900 that was my goal when I started up this program today. And I have to laugh. I mean, that's everything usually that can go wrong does go wrong. So, you know, but that is live and local radio, folks. That's how it goes. So anyway, please call. And I'm going to get our next guest on the line here in a minute. But the phone number is 895-0131. And I wanted to announce to you there's a important program that's called Rebound Scholars. These are folks that are formerly incarcerated who are back in school and getting their lives together. And they're having a guest speaker, Shelley Winner, and she's hosted by Rebound Scholars. And there's going to be an evening of dinner and dialogue with Shelley Winner, who will share her experience and journey from incarceration to professional employment and how we can all succeed regardless of our circumstances. So important speaker, lots of good energy and free food. April 25th at 6 to 7:30 p.m. in the BMU, the Bell Memorial Unions at Chico State, room 203. So you might that might interest you, and I hope it does, because that's part of what we do here. We share information. And I'm going to, let's see, what song? I'm going to put up another Alice DiMicelli song. We mentioned Defend the Earth, one of her oldest songs, but I want to get that one on for you here.
Embedded in the paper today, we'll sacrifice the birds for
someone's job and name. When will we understand? No one will have a job if we destroy this thing. No, 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 no. Alive and what should not. Someone plays with fire, but you know we're only building our own funeral pyre. How can we sit here intellectualizing when we know what's happening is wrong? Causing mass extinction while doctors use machines on human lives to prolong. If someone's playing God, deciding who should be alive and who should not. If someone plays with fire, but you know he's only building his own funeral pyre. Side for the few who live in luxury. Perhaps it's up to you and I to save this world. We'll have to put up one hell of a good fight. A good fight. And we have a voice and bodies that are strong as the mountain. Yes, we have a choice. Part of the destruction, or do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. Defend the earth. Do what you can, do what you must, but just do something to defend the earth. But just do something to defend the Earth.
Our only planet. We love you, Earth. And I love all you listeners. I just was informed, and I was just crying about it, that we met our goal. We went over our goal. We made $1,300 for KZFR, so it makes it less of a cliffhanger for tonight for the other programmers that follow me to get to our $5,000 goal. So please don't stop calling, because we still need to reach our goal. And it's 895-0131 here at the station. So we have folks out there taking calls. We still have Jeannie and Rick out there. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Really, really appreciate you. I have on the line with me Teresa O'Connor, who is the founder and convener of Butte County Shelter for All. And she just told me something that just blew me away. So, Teresa, tell our guests, thank you for being with me today, but tell our guests what happened.
Sure. So, thanks for having me on. This morning, the city of Chico announced that the pallet shelter site will be open as of Monday morning. This has been, this has been under construction, under development for a couple months now, and they just issued a press release this morning. They are apparently still having a few disputes that they are going to be discussing. There's going to be a hearing on those on April 28th, on Thursday.
Oh, boy. You know, it has been, I think back, you know, I was thinking about it yesterday when I was considering interviewing you about, you know, everything that those of us who have been allies to the end house have been through in this last year, you know, the desperation of the sweeps of last winter and spring when their things were just being taken and putting into dumpsters, and them just being told to sleep on the sidewalk with nothing. I mean, and then finally the temporary injunction last April, and now this long settlement agreement to get to this pallet shelter thing. So I want to thank you, Teresa O'Connor, for keeping the advocates together. You know, your regular Zoom calls with so many different advocates, I think, have really been important to this. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about who you've worked with in advocacy before we talk a little more about the pallet shelters.
Sure. So, as you mentioned, we talk on Zoom every couple of weeks. We work with the folks from the North State Shelter Team, Charles Wathun, who I think you and many other folks know. He has developed a mobile shower trailer that they're now bringing out to the Windchime Park, I believe, every Friday. We try to help coordinate with the Chico DSA Mutual Aid Team, some folks from the the Hunger Helpers Trolley, Chico Friends on the Street, and then, you know, some folks just like to be able to deliver mutual aid on their own. And we're also working with advocates who are helping with, like, bringing dumpsters out to, I think, Windchime and Lost Park. Grace Marvin with the Sierra Club got them to pay for it, and the city was willing to go to accept that. So that's been a really positive change that's happened just through activists and advocacy.
Yeah, and so many people. I mean, it's been a hard row to hoe. Somebody corrected me. I said that last night. I said hard road to hoe, and they corrected me and said road to hoe. But anyway, that's nothing. But Teresa O'Connor, I wanted to talk more about the settlement agreement, because recently it's as if the city council had never even heard about this agreement, and they were going, I didn't know I signed that. You know, they always seem like they don't know what the terms of it is. They keep going back to their ordinances, which they have had, they put on the books in order to move homeless people along and get them off of waterways, et cetera, et cetera. They still have not really engaged with the idea that these are human beings with lives and bodies and spirits and, you know, all the Maslow hierarchy of needs that, you know, that go with being a human.
Sure.
And we've, throughout this whole struggle, we've had trouble getting them to get porta potties or dumpsters. I mean, that has been a major struggle. The city has not wanted to participate in it. So tell us about what some of the stumbling blocks are now to the opening the pallet shelter on Monday.
Sure. So some of the issues have been around the storage bins. The city wanted to limit each occupant to just 3 storage bins, which, you know, for many people, that might not be even close to what they need for really essential life's belongings. The city wanted to impose a nightly curfew barring entry and exit from, I believe, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., which is going to interfere with folks, you know, being able to freely come and go, just like as regular human beings. And also it could prohibit people from working. Many homeless people do work, sometimes regular job hours, sometimes, one-off jobs. And also the city wanted to screen people out who had warrants for criminal behavior. They are terming this as a safety issue. The plaintiffs are saying that this is going to prevent people from seeking shelter, and you know, that the collective feeling from all of those is that the city is just not necessarily adhering to the idea of a low barrier shelter.
Right. Yeah. So how do you expect this is going to work out for for a Monday opening. I know they're calling this a soft opening, but how will it work?
That is, I believe, that's an open question. They they are not taking walk-ins directly. According to the press release that I saw, they can get a referral from either the police or from the outreach and engagement team. But beyond that, it's kind of an open question as to how it's going to proceed. They have not scheduled any time for that where they're going to be able to start enforcing their ordinances, and I believe they will not be able to enforce the ordinances until they start designating, you know, specific locations where they want to enforce the ordinance.
Yeah, the ordinances now, the people first have to have an opportunity to go to the pellet shelter, and then
that's right.
If they either the pellet shelter is full or they refuse to go for the number of reasons. And one of those I might mention too is that some of the people have dogs, and this settlement agreement so far is one of the sticking points is about their dogs wearing muzzles.
That's right. That's right. Like, there is a muzzle issue where the city will insist occupants' dogs should wear a muzzle at most times, even though dogs will be on a leash, and the plaintiffs are arguing that this is going to be very restrictive.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be really hard for, you know, unhoused people to make that choice between having, you know, a roof over their head, a door that locks, heating and cooling, and some privacy versus freedom and their own autonomy. Because, you know, after you've been living out, you know, for a year or more, it almost looks like a concentration camp over there. I hate to say it. I've seen it, and it's so regimented. It's just a cultural shift, I guess I would call it. I don't know what else. It's going to be difficult. But in regards to the ordinances, they can't start sweeping again unless they give people other options too. There have to be some other city-sanctioned campgrounds. Have you heard anything about that, Teresa O'Connor?
So what I am hearing is that they will engage each person to see if the pallet shelter is appropriate or if the tourist shelter is appropriate. And if neither of those is appropriate, they will tell the person where they can camp without fear of being evacuated. I don't believe it's going to be, you know, a designated campground or a sanctioned campground. It'll just be some city property or public property where they will not enforce the ordinance at that point.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm worried about that. So, Teresa, do you have any other news or anything that we didn't discuss with this update about the hurdles still to come before Monday?
I don't think I have any news, but you know, I'm hopeful that this is going to succeed. I think it's going to take a lot of effort from folks in the community to to help with those regulations, to help make them human, to help make the site more human.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that the folks at, you know, who are organizing it at the Jesus Center will be open to organizations working to help make it a more humane environment.
I hope so too. I hope it's not going to be, you know, the advocates can't advocate, because I mean, that's a community that, you know, many of us are familiar with. We know the people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So I wanted to give you a minute. I know you wanted to say something in support of community radio, and I appreciate whatever it is you're going to say.
I sure do. I think the KZFR especially has just been instrumental in helping educate our community about homelessness and housing and how they're tied together. I think a lot of folks, maybe prior to these evacuations, weren't really thinking about housing and homelessness being really part of the same, you know, puzzle piece. But your show, Sue Hildebrand's show, a couple of other shows have just been vital in educating folks, in making people aware, in giving folks outlets and ways that they can contribute and be part of the solutions. So I cannot thank you and the other folks at KZFR enough for really, for standing with the homeless activists and the homeless folks and making this, this is a community issue, a community problem. And I think KZFR has been really important in bringing that out.
Yeah, and my co-host Robert Jones has Patrick Newman on almost every time he programs, and Patrick always has such a brilliant analysis of what's going on. Unfortunately, everything Patrick's ever said has come true. it's always hard to hear.
Yeah, Patrick is very smart. He really is.
Yeah,
he's got a good handle on it.
Yeah, he does. And you do, too. And I want to thank you so much for being my guest today on the Peace and Justice program as we wind down our Pledge Drive show. And I can't thank you enough for your leadership in this last difficult year.
Okay. Thank you so much. And, yeah, everybody keep donating because I'm sure there's plenty of needs, even beyond the ones that you guys have already identified.
Yeah. Thanks, Teresa. Take care.
All right. Thank you,
peace.
Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, folks, I would like you to call 895-0131. And Rick is in here, and he must have something he wants to say to us. Rick, what would you like to say to us?
Oh, I was just marveling at the board out there, seeing how much money you've raised today. You really, your listeners have really come through.
Oh, I'm so happy. I can't say that I didn't ask people for money before the show, too.
Certainly.
I wrote to people and I said, please, can you give us money? Anyway, beggar.
It's a great feeling, isn't it?
It is a really good feeling.
It validates the work that you do.
And it also gets that connection going that KZFR is important to people.
Absolutely.
Peace and justice, public affairs programming is a different beast. It is not the music that a lot of people love. And I don't blame you for saying, oh, that show's depressing, if you're one of those people that say that. But, this is our planet. We have to.
Absolutely.
We have to take responsibility for it. We have to, we have to step up. And the only way we can really step up is from a place of some degree of knowledge. I mean, you don't have to be an expert on things, but it does help to have these guests in here that know what they're talking about. And Rick's passing me a napkin, and it says, oh, your first interview is holding on. Oh, no. And, that poor Don Kimball, he is driving across the country, and I missed him on the first interview, and he's apparently still somewhere waiting to be interviewed.
Maybe if you have a music piece, you could talk to him on the phone.
I have to do it after the show.
Yeah.
I have one more guest,
okay,
and
so
it's Caitlin in Dalby, and I can't miss calling Caitlin because she has a huge event coming up tomorrow, which is Endangered Earth.
Oh,
so
yes.
I need to get her on the
now. I'm gonna head back, and we'll talk with him and let him know that this is just not going to work today.
Yeah, cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Chris.
I really appreciate it. All right, folks, let me put on another. This is the song I offered to play for you earlier. It's called Rise, and I thought it was good for people who went through the fires, people who have survived and thrived. Here you go.
I'm Robert Jones, one of the hosts of the Peace and Social Justice
Show. It did it again. Okay, never mind. All right, so I do need to get another guest on the line, and don't have the way to do it here. One second. I'm going to see if I can. I love Robert very much, but I don't want to hear from him right now. Let's see if we can do this now, if it'll work. Hi. I have Grant in the office here. I mean, in the studio with me. I'm just trying to play that Rise song there, Grant. If you'll make that happen, I appreciate it. And one second. Thank you. Thank you, Grant. So enjoy this. I'll get Caitlin Dalby on the line for you. Hang on.
Nothing can prepare you for those flames so hot. We think it's easy to let go of it all till it's not. nobody can fix it. That's the nature of pain. Grief rolls through our lives and we're never the same. So grab onto this hand. I reach out to you.
And just remember that, folks, no matter how bad things get, a lot of times you're going to pull through. So hang in there. And I have on the line with me Caitlin Dalby, and she's going to pull through, too, because she has a huge event tomorrow. Caitlin Dalby earned a master's degree in land resources and environmental science in 2019 while teaching science full-time in Chico. Caitlin brings 12 years of science teaching experience, much of which was spent in environmental education and stewardship in the Feather River watershed and Little Chico Creek. Her diverse background ranges from fisheries and recreation work with the U.S. Forest Service to research in California mountain lion population genetics while earning her bachelor's in biotechnology at UC Davis. Her passion lies in forest and watershed management and stewardship with a holistic philosophy of sustainable best practices. She's on the Chico Unified School District's Board of Trustees, as well as being the executive director of the Butte Environmental Council. Butte Environmental Council, for those of you who may not know, has a mission of protecting and defending the land, air, and water of Butte County and the surrounding area through action, advocacy, and education. Welcome, Caitlin.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me.
I'm sorry our time has gotten very shortened up. I would like to move immediately to you promoting the Endangered Earth event tomorrow.
Great. Thanks, Chris. So Butte Environmental Council has been around in the area doing environmental work since 1975. And the Endangered Species Fair has been a long-running event of the area, much beloved by the community. And this year we are celebrating and honoring the 43rd anniversary of the Endangered Species Fair, but bringing it back in a kind of reinvigorated form as the Endangered Earth event.
And why did you decide to do that at this point?
Well, we just thought that over the last couple of generations or a few generations, as the peril of our planet has evolved with human activities, as has the climate crisis, species, of course, are endangered and are, more at risk than ever, but also just entire ecosystems and so many more things to bring to attention. And so we really wanted to have a more holistic approach to the fair and, bring it into the updated movement.
Well, can you tell us about what will be happening tomorrow, the details?
Yeah, absolutely. So tomorrow the event kicks off with a walk for Earth through downtown Chico. We will be starting at Children's Park, which is right next to Chico State Campus and across the road from Collier's Hardware Store, so on that side of downtown. At 9:30, we'll start checking in participants and lining everybody up. People can come. You don't have to register. You can just show up. You'll sign a form, and you'll get into formation before we start the walk at 10:30 sharp. People can come in costume with smaller, large puppets, as you know was traditionally done with the procession of the species at the Endangered Species Fair. Masks, with music, with percussion, any kind of way to, demonstrate your passion for the planet. That's really the spirit of that part of tomorrow's activities. The foot parade will go from Children's Park in downtown, now down Main Street towards Chico City Plaza, yeah. And that's where the event is taking place. So right in the heart of downtown. The plaza fence has come down, and so we will be in there with over two dozen vendors and exhibits, four or five food trucks, and just really hope for an awesome turnout for folks of all ages to come and enjoy some interactive activities and education and music from Thunderlump and a keynote address from Master TEK practitioner Allie Mutters Knight. That should be happening around 1:30. We're really excited to have her come speak and really just, you know, be aware, but also honor the earth and you know, keep the momentum going forward.
Yeah, and you know what I didn't do today is to, sometimes I don't, is to just acknowledge that here at the radio station we are on occupied Mechoopda land, and I'm so glad that Allie Mutters Knight is going to be speaking at the Endangered Earth event, and there'll be a lot of tables there too, won't there?
Yeah, we have several groups coming to join us. For example, Friends of Bidwell Park will be there. Azad Martial Arts is going to be there, I think, doing some demos. Recology, Altica Audubon Society, frankly, lots of different booths and exhibits. And then we'll also have some interactive, fun things, games, and artwork and things for the kiddos who want to participate.
Caitlin, I have to go because I have this long list of people to thank for pledging on peace and justice, but I want to thank you for directing back through this period. I know it can't be easy coming out of COVID for a nonprofit, and I hope people will show up tomorrow. What are the hours again for the Endangered Earth?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. So the walk is at 10:30, check-ins at 9:30. The event in the plaza starts at 11 a.m. and goes till 2 p.m., and if you don't mind, Chris, just one last plug. I just want to thank all of our sponsors. They're listed on our Facebook page and on our website, including Clean Canteen, Friends of Bidwell Park, Azad Martial Arts, and Chico Natural Foods Cooperative, as well as Chico News and Review, and, of course, KZFR. Without your support, you know, we couldn't get the word out there as well as we do, and that's why community radio is so important. And I just want to thank all those folks who have already pledged to KZFR, and please, today's the last day. So for Earth Day, do that final push for KZFR for supporting Butte Environmental Council and all the activities that we do.
Thank you so much, Caitlin Dalby. I really appreciate you. Thanks for being with us today.
And yeah, no good problem. Luck. Thanks, Chris.
Good luck tomorrow. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye.
All right, folks, I have a huge list of people, and I want to thank them all. I just send out a huge hug to Vicky, Linda, Sue, Emily, SARS, Bill from Independence, Shakti Leela, Serena, Patrick, Ellen in Cherokee, Carol, Brenda, Wheezy, Karen, Bonnie, John, Keitha, Elizabeth, Dawn, Maria, and Cece. Really, really appreciate you. I can't tell you how much. And stay tuned for Playing Dead. I have to really give my gratitude also for our underwriters. I hope people will support them as they are also so key to our community. I'd like to thank the Chico News and Review, your local news commentary and entertainment source. The April issue hits the stands on Thursday. The 7th, a special edition, the Arts issue, in honor of Arts, Culture, and Creativity Month in California. The Chico News and Review is available at hundreds of locations throughout Butte County and online at chiconewsreview.com. And by Peterson Tree Care, because trees need care. John Peterson continues his family tradition of caring for Chico's amazing natural resource. Licensed, bonded, and insured with financing available, Peterson Tree Care handles residential and commercial properties and can be reached at 518-0924. Stay tuned for Playing Dead after the community calendar. Have a wonderful Earth Day, and thank you so much for supporting KZFR during this spring pledge drive, which ends tonight. So get your friends to pledge if they haven't. 895-0131.
Hey, listeners, it's time for the KZFR 90.1 FM community calendar with me, Megan Hammer. Habitat for Humanity.